Much. It's great to be with you, Father Craig, and thanks to all of you for the welcome. Appreciate it. Yep. Grateful. It's good to be with you tonight, and I'm excited. And Zach, we got a thumbs up on things, or Jake, excuse me, we got a thumbs up. Okay, thumbs up. All right. As we're getting, let's begin with prayer and call the Holy Spirit into our midst and invite Him to work in our lives tonight. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, this night we open ourselves up to you and we invite you to look into our brokenness, but also into our wholeness. We ask you to guide us into greater freedom, as Galatians 5:1 says, into living hope, as 1 Peter says, into unrelenting hope, as Romans says. And Lord, we pray that we lift up any obstacles that might be there that stand in the way, so that we might be free as sons and daughters of the living God, that we move from darkness to light, and in that freedom, use it well, as we pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, as you know, how you see yourself matters. Psychologists say this, sociologists will say this, even hard science will say how you view yourself matters. It changes the way that you walk into a room and present yourself. It changes the way you think about the day as the day begins. It changes the way you present yourself to friends or to family or even to a stranger. And so we're going to dive into a little bit about that. We each have a list of our likes and dislikes, of our deficits and assets, of our wins and losses in a given day. And so depending on which way we run with the assumptions we make about ourselves may determine how we view our life. And if we live from that place, if we live from a place, let's say, of a certain kind of brokenness, then we may be filled with worry, or we may live out of a place of anxiety or pessimism or even disappointment. But if my outlook is Christ-centered, then I can live from a place of living hope, because it's the Lord within me working. And so tonight and over the next three nights, we're going to look at how that might actually happen. I have a story to share with you, a true story about two moms. They were standing in front of a judge in Chicago. And they said, both moms said, "Your Honor, I ask the court for mercy." Why were these two women there? It wasn't because of anything that they had done. They're standing before the magistrate in his robes. Judgment is going to be passed, and they said, "We asked the court for mercy." It wasn't what they had done. It was what had happened to each of their sons. Each of their sons had been involved in a car accident several days before, and in that, neither one of them were the driver. They were both passengers in the car, and the car went careening off the road, crashed, and both sons were severely injured. In being severely injured, they were hospitalized and then kept alive through life support for a number of days. They received last rites and then, unfortunately, tragically, passed away. The driver of the car lived, survived. Imagine the feeling, imagine the list going through that young man's mind. Of, I had my hands on the wheel. I handled the curve. I didn't see this. I didn't see that. I didn't respond this way. Think of the list that was going through his mind. Think of the list going through the minds of those mothers who'd conceived those sons, who'd born them and then raised them and then taught them to walk and then talk, who'd invested their family lives and resources in bringing them to the place where they were in life. Think of the list that they had in their minds. Think of the list that was in the mind of the judge as he's listening to the two mothers of these sons who've passed away ask for mercy from the court on behalf of the driver. Not very common in a United States courtroom these days. And yet there they were. They were able to do that because they were following Jesus in their own lives. They'd invited Christ to be a part of their inner life. And they weren't living from a place of tragedy. They were living from a place of hope. They weren't living from a place of complete loss. They were devastated. They were living from a place of hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that their sons would be with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in the moments, last moments of their life when they handed their boys over to him. They weren't living from a place of vengeance. They were living from a place of mercy because they knew that Jesus Christ had shown them greater mercy in dying on the cross. Did they want to act out and lash out in anger? I'm sure they did. But did they know that everyone was watching how they would live this moment of loss? I'm sure they were. Did they feel peer pressured into doing something? No, they wanted to do this because the Holy Spirit inside of them inspired them to let go of their loss, to let go of their lists, and to let God work through the moment. The driver of that car is today a Catholic priest, sharing God's mercy with the world. Because mercy was shown him by the families of those who lost their lives. Tonight and this week is about moving from darkness to light and looking at the list that we have and where the Lord is calling us from darkness into that light. There, you know, the Lord or the world wants to steal our hope away, and oftentimes we fight it, but it often wins, and the hesitations and the darkness and the doubts kind of start to creep into our minds. There's a story about that in Scripture from 1 Chronicles I want to share with you. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and this is the story of King David, who built the first temple in Jerusalem, turning to his son Solomon, who's going to be the next king. So imagine your royalty, young people, your royalty, and you're next in line for the throne. And the king is addressing you, and he says these words. Then David said to his son Solomon, "Be firm and steadfast. Go to work without fear or discouragement, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or abandon you before you have completed all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. The classes of the priests and Levites are ready for all the service of the house of God. They will help you in all your work with all those who are eager to show their skill in every kind of craftsmanship. Also, the leaders and all the people will do everything that you command." Why would King David need to share these words with the future king, his son, this young man? Why would a king feel the need to do that? Just popcorn it. We're going to open it up to the crowd. Popcorn it. Why would someone need to say these things? He's looking at him. Yep. To make them trust the people around them, the leaders, the priests. What the king is saying is they've all got your back. Exactly. What does that mean about Solomon? Does Solomon think that they have his back? Probably not. So the king is blessing his son with insight into what he expects of the leaders, but what he can count on from the leaders and priests. He's speaking into Solomon's fears. He's saying what he's saying because Solomon doesn't have the confidence, doesn't believe that folks have got his back and that things will go well. Let's read it again. Then David said to his son Solomon, "Be firm and steadfast." What does it mean? Solomon is not feeling firm and steadfast. "Go to work without fear or discouragement." It means that he sees fear in his son's eyes. Have you ever felt fear as you go into a game? If you're an athlete, if you've gone into an exam as a student, if you've gone into a challenging maybe work project as an adult, that's what Solomon is facing here. And then he will not fail you. The Lord is with you. He's saying that God is with him. So Solomon, we'll get ready for the first video here. Solomon is thinking maybe he needs this song. And we're going to play this song for you. I want you to listen to the words of this song as it comes up. It's a familiar song. And it may have kept him from letting the darkness sneak in. Listen to the words that pop out to you. I'm going to be asking you as the crowd to share the word that pops out with you, because that may be the Holy Spirit talking to the group. So let's play the song. What words jumped out at you in that song? I could hear somebody singing some of the words over here. What words jumped out at you as you heard the song? It's a song you've heard 1,000 times. What words popped out? Let's just popcorn it. Just yell out words. We're going to start over here. Yell out a couple words. What words jumped out at you? Say again. Lowly? Lonely. There we go. Thank you. Over here. Over here. Yell out a word. Strangers, excellent. Another word over here. Searching, another word over here. Nowhere. All of the images in this video are about community and being together, and yet, and the lyrics are, don't stop believing. Why is that? Because it's speaking into something in our hearts where we may have stopped believing. Think about that. Why does this song make so much sense? It makes sense because the temptation that we all have is to stop believing. The word that jumped out at me was the word just. Just what? Just a small town girl. Just a city boy. Just this, just that. Do you have a list of what you're just? I'll share mine with you. I'm just from Western Minnesota. I'm just from a farm. I'm just a public school kid. I'm just a B2C kind of student. I'm just. Paul, could you start handing out pens and paper? And we'll have got volunteers here. What is on your just list? Where do you say, I'm just? We've got pens and paper, and we're going to spend about 10 minutes inviting you to journal, private journal, personal journal, just for you, and to draw your list of what you're just into the light. Before God, not before your friends. Before God, not before your parents. This is not for you to share with those that are next to you. And if you just need to write one word down, go ahead and write it down. Take a pen. And we're going to dive into your own list of what you're just. I'm just from St. Peter. I'm just a one-sport athlete. I'm just in one extracurricular. I'm just on my third occupation in life. I'm just a grandparent with grandkids at a distance. I'm just this, I'm just that. What is on your just list right now? And as you look at the top half of that sheet, there's two questions I'd like you to answer. One is, what things do you see as against you, like King Solomon and King David, but King Solomon? What things are against you in your mind? What kinds of things stack up against you that you have to develop a workaround on with your time and energy every day? And we're going to put that on paper for you, and then you're going to bring it before not Father Craig, not myself, but Jesus in the Eucharist. And then in our headspace, we get the I'm just list. That's number two. Where do you say, I'm just? Like I said, I'm just for almost half of my life. And I wrote myself off. And if I had a chance to name the things where I'd written myself off, I wouldn't have been burdened by them for as long. Tonight is about freedom and freeing you from your lists for God. Then thirdly, make a list of things you need right now. Resources, opportunities, hopes, and dreams that you want to pray into tonight. And we're going to see how God can answer those prayers a little later in our time together. Your 10 minutes of prayer time and silence and just you and Jesus, just you and God talking begins now. It's so important for us, no matter the age and stage we are in life, to name these things and to bring them into the light of our own life. This is just for you. This is not, you can choose to share it with whomever you wish, but it's just for you. And we want to respect, you know, I ask everyone to respect what everyone else has written on their pages. The reason for that is that God is a God who wants to set us free. And we often forget that he's in our corner. It's often easy for us to bench ourselves because of the list that we create about ourselves. I know I was a university chaplain for a number of years, and as Father Craig mentioned, and there was a student who I saw going through high school and then on into college, and she transferred into a school and was terribly bullied over in the school. She was a fantastic young lady, vivacious, great personality, very sociable, but got bullied and had to transfer to another school outside of town in order to make it through school. She could have said, I'm just a public school transfer. And then in college, she was undecided about her majors and went from one college to another in making declarations, and she could just say, I'm just a transfer student. And then in the college that she arrived at, she could have said, I'm just a business major. And then she could have said, I'm just from the farm. And then she could have said, I just don't know how to do public speaking. And then she could have said, and the list goes on, I just have a certain number of friends that I trust. But when she graduated from college, she became a national speaker. Her name is Sarah Swofford. If you've ever heard of her, or watched any of her YouTube videos, Google her and see who that young lady who had that list of I'm justs turned into. Do not let your list bench you in your life, no matter where you are in life. The evil one wants to get you benched and will use your list against you. He will try and convince you to take the bench. And so tonight, the second half of tonight, is about a strategy on how to not let yourself get benched. How to avoid that. The Holy Spirit is a name for the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. And we say, okay, well, if that's the Holy Spirit and we receive the Holy Spirit in the sacraments, especially in confirmation, and we're maybe some of you, have you received confirmation? Students, here in the front, confirmation yet? Not yet. Okay, on the way. All right, raise your hand if you received confirmation. All right, nice job. All right, so we've got some folks who've got full Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, and he's the giver of life. What does that mean to have God inside of you as the giver of life? We say that in the Nicene Creed. So we're going to watch the next video clip to get an idea of what it's like. So I'm going to preface this. This is from Hoosiers. Anybody seen the movie Hoosiers? All right, awesome film, younger generation. Okay, I have a hand here. Are you a basketball fan? All right, it's a great basketball movie. It's if you go into basketball, if you're playing basketball, it's great to psych you up on this one. All right, so Gene Hackman plays Coach Norman, and Jimmy is the star basketball player. And so Jimmy has just gone through, and the team have gone through a loss of a coach. It was a tragic loss of coach. Coach has passed away. They're devastated. The team is devastated. The town is devastated. Jimmy, the lead player, quits the team, quits basketball. He's so wounded, steps away from the game because he doesn't want to get hurt anymore. They bring in the town, the city, and the school, bring in Coach Norman, who's played by Gene Hackman, who's the new coach in town, who's got big shoes to fill. The town doesn't like him. They decide they don't like him. What we're going to watch is the city hall meeting where the town is called, the city council is called a town meeting to decide whether to keep or to eject Coach from the team. And then Jimmy walks in. Go. Watch the reactions in the room. There's Coach. Don't you just want to cheer when he says Coach stays? Right? Your heart is with Coach and you're like, you're fighting for Coach, you're hoping for Coach. I'm going to ask you to move and create a small group of 3 to 5 people in the pew next to you. And we're going to reflect on the next half of your sheet there. What difference in this clip did it make when Jimmy walked in the room? So go ahead and group up. Groups of 3 to 5. And we're going to have choose one of you to be the secretary and write down a couple ideas for each of those questions. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Go. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bring it in. Huddle up. Let's huddle up, everybody. Thank you. Just pause for a second. Did you feel the rumble that was going on here for the last 10 minutes? The rumble of conversation, the rumble of introductions, the rumble of moving from the questions into regular conversation, into meeting somebody that maybe you don't always know or talk to. If you did, then maybe there's the giver of life, the Holy Spirit's working within the group tonight. If that's life-giving to you, because I think it was life-giving to you, that rumble is a sign that there's life within the community of people. So I hope that that was part of your experience as you even just had the conversation tonight about the questions that you were presented with. We're going to go group to group and kind of do what's called a round robin. And group to group, so maybe we'll start over here and kind of circle through the crowd and then circle over through here. And we're going to ask your representative just to yell out some things with the first set of questions here, the small group discussion. And if you're in the group and you don't have this part filled out on your paper, go ahead and write it out because this is for you to take back tonight. Write down these words, the Spirit is working, and so I want you to take it with you if you haven't written it down from the group in your own sheet of paper tonight. So let's start over here and answering the question, what changed when Jimmy walked in the room? Over here, group rep. Stand up and maybe say your name and then yell out the answers. Okay, so hope filled the room, and he changed it, and there was surprise there. Excellent. Next group. Stand up, name, and yell it out.
Hey, I'm Ann, and our group, we said that the energy changed.
Yell to the back.
The energy changed in the room. People started smiling. There was just kind of a look of astonishment on faces.
So astonishment, energy changed. And was Jimmy kind of loud and all about himself when he walked into the room, like doing the muscle thing and, hey, right? And doing the, right? Calling attention? Or did he just walk into the room? Walked in and yet changed the energy level of the room. Next group. Nancy. And what did, yeah, difference that Jimmy made. Opinions changed. Set opinions changed. Beautiful. Thank you. Next group.
Ben, you said the room lit up.
Great words. Room lit up.
I actually noticed the relief on the face of the coach before he even spoke. Just the fact that he was there.
Go deeper there. So, Ben, you're saying the face of the coach changed. Go deeper there.
Well, the coach just, like, there was a relief in the coach's face, like, before Jimmy even spoke, just as Jimmy was walking up.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you notice Coach's face. Yeah, that stuck out to me too. Thank you, Ben.
And then we made a quote of somebody saying, like, once we get rid of the coach, Jimmy comes back, but actually the opposite was going to be true.
Was going to be true. Excellent. Next group. Yell to the back, Peggy. Thank you. So that carries, that theme carries through the whole movie. Excellent point. Next group. Curiosity. So they were curious because it was unknown and yet went positive and it was life-giving. There was hope. Okay, next group. So it was a done decision that then moved into choice, and that lady jumps up and says, I want a revote, right? Nice. Good observation. What else? The mood. In other words, the spirit of the room changed. When you say mood, it means spirit of the room, right? Yeah, the crowd, the heart of the crowd changed. Excellent points. Next group. Over here. They respected Jimmy. So they showed respect for the athlete who's taking a leadership position now within the community and bringing about a change. So he had courage, and they respected that. They correspondingly respected his courage. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else over here? Okay. Okay, go for it. Okay. So a lot of wonderment, and the chemistry of the room changes, right? It was all going one direction. The train was going, and then the chemistry changes, but nobody knows the outcome yet. All right, up here, some of our young leaders, what have you come up with? What do you mean by tone? Yeah, tone and attitude changed. It was exactly, you're exactly right. But yeah, go a little deeper in there for us.
Just their whole body language.
Body language.
It was like, you could tell he was respected, and so they wanted to listen to what he said.
Okay, so their body language changed. They became more open. Right, posture changes, face changes. People become relaxed when they respect the person walking in and speaking. Thank you. Next one.
I'm Luke. They all stopped talking. Their faces were like, I don't know, they just all changed. They all like were just staring at them. The mood changed. And there was one more guy in the room.
But why'd they stop talking in your mind? Okay. They were speechless, right? And they're speechless for a reason. They respect him, and they don't know what's going to happen. Okay, this group over here. Yeah, go for it. Yep.
I'm Brian. Absolutely nothing to add.
Over here. Ladies in front, just yell it out. Public speaking is part of growing up. Respect. All right. Nice job. Thank you. Next group. You had a really good one here. Everyone went quiet. And you told me what that means. He's really good at basketball. It means he's really good. That's an athlete's translation. Love it. Okay. Next group. Just yell it out. Stand up, Michael. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So he's applying it to, you're applying it to this, the idea of when Jesus walked into a room, and people would quiet down because he was as good as he was. Exactly. Okay, thank you. Way to go. Next group. The word shock, powerful word. Okay, it shocked him, right? So all of a sudden, change of course, right? All right, over here, young ladies. Yell it out. Louder, Deb.
What?
Yeah. No, I know. Excellent. Yeah, the outcome was like a good outcome. Everyone was satisfied. Next group. So the folks who were really set against Jimmy and coach were disappointed, even though it was a good outcome. They're going to win some games now. Good observation. Okay. Over here.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? The leader in the room, Jimmy, asked to talk. Yeah. That's what leaders do. Nice job. Respected person can change minds. Every one of you is an influencer for Jesus Christ, and you can be Jimmy in a given room and change minds and hearts, even if you don't think it's within your comfort zone. Next group. We got a little bit over here and a few over here, and then we'll close her up. Don't be bashful. All right, the guys at the back, I'm volunteering them because they had a good one. They're like, who, us? Silent, and give us another one. That was it. That's good. That's great. Thank you. And silent because he was good. You guys said that too, right? Yeah, because he was good. All right, last group over here. Ooh. Awesome. Awesome. Think of every word that you've used to describe Jimmy tonight, and that's a word that describes the Holy Spirit as the giver of life. Jimmy, in this clip, was the Holy Spirit. He quietly entered. He respectfully walked through the room. He asked permission to speak, and that's exactly how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And then, because he's asked permission, if he will only move and act in your life if you give him permission to act and move in your life. So close your eyes right now, and I just invite you, no pressure, if your heart is there, to invite the Holy Spirit to speak in your life tonight. Holy Spirit, you are the giver of life. It is your life within our minds and hearts that helps us to overcome our lists and the lists of the world. Those obstacles and challenges that are very real and yet can be overcome with the power of Christ. Jesus sends you into our minds and our hearts and our bodies so that we might be filled with living hope. More than Jimmy in the clip, that you might change the atmosphere, the tone, the attitude of our minds and our hearts from the inside. That we might know you and respect you so much that we care to pay attention to you. That we might trust you enough that you're that good at what you do, to follow and listen to what you have to say. Lord, for anyone here tonight who's given up on their hopes and dreams, who's allowed their list or the list of the world to get in the way, who's been afraid to write down something because they want to be freed of it so badly, or they desire it as a hope or a goal so audaciously, We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to free them, to be freed of that cross, of that burden, and also to be free to run towards that goal and that dream. And we pray together for that as we say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May the good Lord bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We'll have some fellowship. I'll turn it over to Father Craig now.
Sounds great. Great. Thank you, Father Brandon, very much.
Thanks. Good to be with you.